Well, you probably didn't know this, but there was a time when I was a trapeze artist. I know it's hard to imagine looking at me, but I really was a trapeze artist. And I was about 8 years old, and I had gone to see Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. And if you've ever seen the circus, the most amazing part of any circus is that moment in time when the trapeze artists go way up into the top of the tent and they start swinging on the trapeze. And they let go of one bar and they do flips and they grab another bar. And I tell you, as a young child, there's elephants, there's tigers, there's bears, there's everything in the circus. But the one thing that grabbed a hold of me and just completely mesmerized my attention was when the trapeze artist was up there and they would let go of the bar and they would turn around or do a somersault and they'd go and grab another one. And I wanted to be so bad a trapeze artist. Now, we had in our side yard a grapefruit tree. And on this grapefruit tree was a branch that was the perfect size and shape of a trapeze artist branch. And so I took my next oldest sister, Jackie, out with me, and we went to the tree, and I started practicing my trapeze artistry work. I grabbed a hold of the branch, and I started swinging, and I started swinging more. And the branch broke. And I came crashing down onto my arm, broke my arm, but this was back in the 60s, and you know the health care that you got in the 60s was a whole lot different. It was mom and dad looking at you and saying, well, if he's still crying by tomorrow, maybe we'll take him to the doctor, which is what they did. They wrapped up my arm in electrical tape, and I was there for 24 hours waiting, and finally they took me to the doctor. I was so excited that I had a broken arm because then I got the cast and the pain would subside. Now, my sister Jackie was very upset with me. She's like, what in the world were you doing? And why did you drag me into this? Because when I was at the top of the branch and the branch broke, I looked over to my sister and I said, catch me. She was 20 feet away. There was no way she could have gotten there in time. She was very upset with me. I learned a valuable lesson that day. When you want to practice trapeze artistry, you need to know three things. First of all, test your equipment. Test the branch to make sure that it's there. Second of all, communicate with the person that's going to catch you. Always a big important thing. Make sure you got that dialogue going. Third is if you're going to fail in the first two things, then at least put a safety net underneath the tree so that when you fall, you don't break your arm, you just get bruised. Of course, this was a time we didn't have internet, I couldn't do any research. You know, this is kind of a trial by error thing. And so if I'd have done some research, I would have found out that trapeze artistry actually started by a guy you've all heard of before. His name is Jules Leotard. The guy that invented the leotard, he started trapeze artistry work. And when he first started out, he started practicing over his dad's pool in France, and he perfected this art. And there are schools now of trapeze artistry. And you know what the big argument is in trapeze artistry today? It's this. Should there be a safety net or not? Because there are actually very, very, very few accidents that happen with the trapeze artistry. And so there's this argument among trapeze artistry people as to whether or not you really should have a safety net, because it makes it more exciting and thrilling if there's no safety net. And they say that there's far higher chance of like being in a plane wreck or in a traffic accident than falling on falling from 40 feet. Now, the sad thing is, of course, is if you're in the audience and something happens like this, it's not very good. But anyway, so that was my foray into being a trapeze artist. Now, you're probably wondering, what in the world does this have to do with Christmas? Well, it has to do with Christmas by this. If you've ever seen the trapeze artistry, he does this incredible thing. When he's swinging, he lets go of the one bar, and he turns around, and he grabs the other. And it's that moment of time when he's let go of the one bar, and he hasn't quite grabbed the other bar. I tried to find the technical term for this on the internet. Of course, we have internet now. And the only thing I can think of is if it's called the lift or the jump or the leap. That's what that little technical maneuver is. And I'm telling you that there can be 1,000 things going on in the circus, but everybody comes to the circus to see that brief moment of time when the guy has let go of the one bar and he hasn't quite reached the other bar. Tonight we're looking at the story of Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. And Joseph was in one of those leaping situations. If you look at the story of Joseph from Matthew, you realize that he is in a world of hurt. Things aren't going well for him. Now, I love the story of Joseph from Matthew because you realize that Joseph is just an ordinary guy. He's just like you and me. Nothing spectacular. He just wants to do the right thing. He wants to follow the rules. He wants to get married. He wants to just live his life as happily as can be. But he finds out that things aren't going to go as well as he had planned. Everybody else at the Christmas story is all excited. The angels are excited. The shepherds are excited. Mary's excited. She has her own song. Elizabeth has her own song. Simeon has his own song. Everybody's singing and exciting and dancing around, except there's poor Joseph. Poor, righteous Joseph, who finds out at Christmas time that the carpet has been pulled underneath him, that he has let go of the bar, and he doesn't know where he's going to grab onto. He's in the middle of the jump. He's in the middle of the leap. And we've all been there in our lives. We've all been to that point where we've let go of something and we turn around and we're not sure where we're going to grab on. You know, we're talking about the story of Joseph. I guess you could look at engagements, right? That's kind of a leap. For those guys who have actually gotten engaged to somebody, you go, you find the ring, you've set up the perfect time, and then, you know, in front of everybody or whatever, you lay out your heart to this young lady and you say, "Will you marry me?" And you're like, you've just let go of the bar and you're hoping that she says yes. This happened to me. I had it all planned out, the marriage proposal of my wife. We were at the exact same restaurant was where our first date. We were there. I had picked out the ring. It was just incredible that we were there. And all of a sudden, I get down on my knee. The whole restaurant gets quiet. They all look at me. I say, "Jennifer, will you marry me?" And she pauses. And she pauses again. She's kind of this deer in the headlight look. Well, and I found out later the reason why is because it was just a perfect setting. She's like, "I just couldn't believe it. She just planned it so perfectly. You shocked me." It's like, okay, well, that works for me. But you know what I'm talking about, that moment in time where you let go and you're not quite sure where you're going. And Joseph was there. Joseph had all the plans in the world. He was going to marry this beautiful young lady, and then he finds out that she's pregnant with a child, and it is not his. And he feels like he's just turned around and laid his heart bare and he's waiting to grab onto that other trapeze. And he finds out that it's not there. And he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have a song. You know, if Joseph had a song, it would be "Billie Jean" by Michael Jackson. "The kid is not my child." But he didn't have that song. He was alone. And he was afraid, and he was frightened, and he didn't know what to do. He was in that leap or that jump, and he didn't know where to turn. You know, a lot of us this last year have been leaping and jumping and having things happen to us in this life, and we don't know what's happened. I look back at the last year, the members of our congregation, and there have been people that have left us, that have gone on from us. They have died. And if you have a family member or a friend or something that has gone on, it's a time where you really are unexpected and you feel like you're just in midair suspended. Or how about some of us who have lost jobs this last year, whether because of the downsizing of the economy or whatever, you know that you come in on Friday and the boss says, "That's it, this is your last day." And you feel like you're in midair and that you've left the past and you don't know what you're going to grab onto. Or maybe some of you have experienced some sickness this last year. You've been found out that you've been diagnosed with a disease and they're going to try to treat it, but you're not sure. Or maybe like my father who found out that he's got glaucoma and he's going to have to have a surgery. And if he doesn't have this surgery, he's going to be blind. Well, that's like being off the trapeze and not sure where you're going to grab onto. Or relationships. There are times in this life where you are just completely, the rug is pulled out from under you, you're up a creek without a paddle, and you don't know what to do. And Joseph was with you at that moment. But I think what Joseph did is instructive to us, because I think that Joseph is a great example of what we should do in those moments of time when we find out that the branch is broke, or that we've left the trapeze, and we are suspended in midair, and we don't know what to do. And what happened to Joseph is quite simply this. First of all, in verse 20, where the angel comes to Joseph and says, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. A lot of times when we're in that situation and we find out that we are suspended in midair, the first thing that happens, of course, is our complex comes in and we shut off our brain. You know this happens. When fear happens, the brain shuts off. But that is like the worst thing that you could possibly do in a fearful situation. You know, there's these goats. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're called the myotonia congenita goats or the fainting goats. Have you seen this? You go up to them and you say, "boo," and their whole entire nervous system just tightens up and they fall over. This is true. I mean, and it's because their brain has just shuts off. Or a deer in the headlights look. You know, you're going to get proposed to and you get this deer in the headlights look and your brain shuts off and you have to think for a second. That's one of the worst things that can happen. But the angel says, "Joseph, don't be afraid." Why? Well, it's quite simply that the Holy Spirit is with you. God is with you. Jesus is with you. You know, there was an article from the January 1930 Atlantic magazine about a trapeze artist. And he was talking about what it's like to be up there in that brief moment of time. And he says this. He says, "I know that all successful aerialists have a sort of a sixth sense that makes it possible for them to keep a clear head and perfect presence of mind while performing high in the air. I know that I am not dizzy on my rigging or at any height, and that I never was. An aerialist, from long and arduous practice, acquires a keen sense of balance, so very keen that any slackening of the rigging is at once felt. From the same practice comes the ability to decide instantly what is to be done in such a case, and also the instant response of a finely trained body. An aerialist with a head full of fear and wavering judgment will not stay in the air very long. The perilous moment that demands quick thought usually finds the true performer with a mind in good working order. An emergency comes, a decision is made and acted upon." You know, Christ says, "I am with you always. I can do all things through Christ who comforts me, who strengthens me." When those moments of time come, when you find yourself suspended in midair, Christ is with you. You have no reason to fear. But the next one is almost as important as that. It's from verse 21, where Matthew writes, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The angel told Joseph, you know, you're about to get rid of this woman, Mary, and her child that she's about to conceive. But don't do that, because the child that is about to be conceived is going to save you. He's going to be Emmanuel. He is the one who will save you. And when the time comes in your life, when you find yourself suspended at that leap, don't get rid of Jesus. He is there for you. He is your Savior. He comes in Bethlehem as your Savior, and he dies at Calvary for your sins. When the time comes, cling to him. But this is the best part of all, and it's verse 22, and it's this. Verse 22 says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin shall be with the child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. You see, all along there was a safety net. All along God had a plan for mankind. All along God had a plan for Mary, and God had a plan for Joseph. And even though he may not have seen the safety net, it was there for him at all times. Because God had planned this from the foundation of the earth, that he would send his son Jesus into this earth to be born in the stable and to save all mankind. It was all part of a plan. When you find yourself in those moments where you've let go of the trapeze and you're hanging up there, God is with you, and he's got a plan for you. And the plan is that he loves you and that he cares for you and that you do not need to be afraid. From that same Atlantic Monthly magazine, the man talked about one time when there was an accident in the tent. He said, one day while we were in the dressing room, the band suddenly went into fast music of their finish. We knew that something had happened. The wife of one of the perch performers went out to the big top. We learned from a property boy that a perch had broken and that two men were hurt. In the big top, while I was walking down the track towards my rigging, I remembered how that particular act worked in the same ring in which I was now to perform. And when I stepped into the loop of my line to be pulled up to my rigging, I saw a broken pole lying on the ground just outside the ring. It is not an easy thing to work at such a time. You have in mind, of course, the injured performers. And then the audience is not in a good mood. They will not enjoy your offering. And the more thrills you provide, the more coldly that they will receive them. This audience was not only still, it was tense. And later in the dressing room, I learned why. The man on the perch was hanging by one foot from a loop at the top of a pole when it broke. He dropped it once. The man below, with the pole on his shoulders, turned so that the part of the pole that he was still holding would not fall into the audience. And he threw it away from him, and he got beneath the falling man. There was not time to brace himself for the shock of the contact. He caught his partner on his shoulders, and both of them went to the ground in a heap. All in the flash of a moment, the man below had done the only thing he could do, bravely and without hesitation. The crowd knew that he had taken a hero's part and that perhaps he had given his life to save another. They were both back in the ring inside of 3 weeks. The one below had a strained back, and the one on top had a broken shoulder blade. My friends, Jesus Christ is the one that is underneath you. At the times in your life when you've let go of the one trapeze and you haven't quite grabbed the next one yet, he is there to hold on to you. And if by chance you should fall, he will take the brunt force of that upon himself as he goes to the cross. That's the message of Christmas. That's the reason why we gather tonight. So my foray into a trapeze work, though, was as a short, very short thing. I never got up again on the tree, never wanted to. And I never became a trapeze artist. Besides, I didn't think I'd look very good in a leotard. But had I been a trapeze artist, I would have known that Jesus would have been with me at all times, as he's with you. In Jesus' name, amen.